think of everything, though.
All right, so anyway, so I went, I met with Wendy, and went over, I got all of our numbers for the last, you know, 3 years. I got more than 3 years, but I think 3 years is relevant enough. So if you look on back from 2013, you got 2013 actual, you got budget actual. Then you got 2014 budget actual, 2015 budget actual, and 2016 budget and to date. So.
And you're on what page now?
I'm just on, just showing you the headings.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
2016
right.
Budget and then actual,
okay.
Budget
yep.
Actual, budget
okay.
Actual, and then budget to date.
Okay.
And then proposed budget, current budget, whatever. So we went through that, and I got filled in all the actual numbers, what our spending was over the last, those last 3 years, and got the numbers to where we are up to date. This is through the end of February. So, because that was the last time we did bills. So that's where we are to date, and looked at the budget cap. I went in and looked at that. So the maximum that we can raise in taxes without going over the cap is $319,175, which is a raise of $2,000 from last year. That's what the cap is. So we went through. Going through the actual stuff, we found that there were a few line items that were severely underestimated as far as revenues go. So we were able to raise the projected income and stay within the tax cap. So we are not, this budget does not represent a budget that goes above the tax cap. So we'll be in line with the tax cap. It includes everything that everybody asked for, including if you look on page 2, you go down to, let me see where it's stuck. No, it's on page 3. It's under other services. The third line item down is called, put in was economic opportunity.
Yep.
And I put $2,500 in there.
For grant writing?
Yep, that's for grant writing. That's the monies that you wanted. The page, other services, economic opportunity, right there. And that's your $2,500 for grant writing.
Okay.
So that was the only new item that we put in.
Now, if we can reduce the budget, wouldn't that be, you know, something that we want to look towards doing as opposed to even raising it?
Well, I don't think we need to raise it. I mean, we're within the tax cap. It's $2,000 more than raising in taxes than last year. But I think you got more income because we took a couple places off. You know, we got additional building done. The American Legion came off, added another $240,000 there. It's probably going to be negligible, but I was waiting for this number to find out what it
Well, there are a couple items that I think we can work on. Like, for example, the assessment 1355.4, we're putting 6373 in that. That's page 2. It's in administration and finance, 1355.4.
Yeah.
We have 6373 put in there, and we still have from last year, according to 229. 2016, we still have $4,012 in that budget.
Right.
After speaking to Debbie today, she's saying that the state's really pushing to have assessment done consolidated. So, you know, try to combine us with the town of Nassau. I think there's only three of us left, and she's saying that if we don't conform, What's that?
Who's
you said? Debbie. Debbie McGrath. Or it's over at Real Property Services. Mm. She's saying that we're going to incur probably a cost of $6,000 to $7,000 on our own because now we have to go separate and we're not going to be included in their services.
We're definitely moving in that direction.
Okay.
I had been. There's some issues that have to be resolved that I've had questions in the NICOM about because the village is in two separate towns. So we have to do an equalization rate like the school districts do because Nassau, the town of Nassau's assessment roll is like 60% and the town of Skodax is 100%. So it needs to be, so that needs to be answered. There's also, we have to pass some local laws in order to do that.
Okay, but do we need this money in here, though?
We may need the money. Right now, we're still responsible for our assessment.
Okay.
Okay, so if we end up, my understanding is like Cumberland Farms is not going to challenge the assessment.
Okay.
But if a company like Cumberland Farms was going to challenge the assessment, then we would have to go to Supreme Court to do that, and you would not be able to defend us there. We would have to hire an attorney.
Okay, so just for contingency purposes.
Until we get over and we know, we'll still probably have to pay for some kind of printing, and we may have to pay for some programming because they still do our water bills.
We do have $4,000 still left in there. I don't know if this has gone down.
Well, there's a charge for those water bills, so that's going to
come out of there too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get a feeling on NICOM how they were going to approach this thing as far as because we have Skodak and we have Nassau? I mean, did you get any kind of feeling of where they're going to try to come from?
They said that.
Is there any glitches? Let's put it that way.
Well, there may be. There may be. Because we have been an assessing unit for so long that they're researching as to whether or not we can actually even drop it.
What do you mean drop it?
Just not do
not
it anymore.
An assessing unit. It's not clear whether we can even do
it. The town would...
But I have to. But I'm.
Well, I have to speak with Debbie. The state's pushing towards it. So
yeah.
There's definitely.
Right, but
right.
The thing is, they don't even know whether or not we can do it. So yeah. They have to do the research.
No, well, like Bob said, we'll have to ease into it.
I've asked Barbara over there at NICOM to get to work on this.
Van Epps,
yeah, okay. To get me some information on it because that was the direction that we wanted to go.
Yeah.
It's kind of fallen off on the back burner. I haven't heard back from her, and I haven't chased her down on it because we're doing other stuff. But it is something I would very much like to do because I don't.
Right.
I would rather not have to deal with assessments. I would just.
Yeah, it would save us some money every year and it'd be something
an aggravation.
That we don't. Yeah, an aggravation. Right, exactly.
Problem is those towns at 60% equalization rate.
Right, but my question to her was, I says, look, you got two different towns. Suppose you just did our bills based on market value. You got, okay, so town of Nassau is at 60%. All right, assessment times whatever it is, 1.4, and they're at 100%. Okay, market value. So now we do market value, everybody's equal. And we could maybe do it based on that, but The answer Debbie gave me was, well, nobody does it on market value.
Did they happen to let you know when the last time the town of Nassau did their thing? I'm sure it was a couple of years ago.
It was more than that.
Probably the 30 years.
Nah, I don't think it was that long ago. I remember them doing it. It was probably at least 15 years ago, though.
They just threw a number out, too, right? They didn't come around.
Oh, yeah, well, they did a horrible job, too.
Okay.
Some people have other people to complain to.
What's that?
Well, it won't be us. It won't be us that they complain to.
Oh.
Yeah, about the assessment.
I also wanted to bring up, what Charlie made a point at as reducing the police hours on the weekend. I think that would be a substantial savings. If we do that, it will save us $17,830, which, believe me, the constituents of this village want to see a tax savings somewhere. Our water, I believe, is going up, right? We're gonna be paying
water
more.
Separate.
But it's still going to cost residents more money in water. And here's the thing. I know you want to keep the police dog, and a lot of residents, don't see a need for that as well. But I can, you know, if we're going to use it for shared services, maybe it is feasible. Why don't we put the police dog on the weekends? If we're going to, if you think safety is an issue, utilize the police dog on the weekends. And that way, now we're saving $17,830 a year. And we still have the coverage. And now our constituents who, you know, voted myself and as well as, you know, as well as Bill, you know, can see that, you know, we're moving in a direction as trying to, you know, save some money for the residents here and do something on that end, you know.
So I hear what you're saying, and I think Guy's going to come at you like, not personally, but he's going to come at you that you would need to provide more training, because right now there's only one person being trained. Or it is trained as
one person with one dog,
right?
Hand.
So
and it's his dog.
I know, but whomever with that approach would have to go through the school, and I don't know how that would work with the same dog.
The dog would actually have to be trained to do that. The dog is not trained to do patrol. The dog is trained to do drug detection and searching for missing people.
Oh, and if that's the case, then I think we should just, you know, eliminate the dog as well if we can't utilize it for patrols.
I mean,
because,
no.
You know,
I think it's a good point that you think that way,
but, you know, if it weren't for the dog, we'd have a lot more drugs in this village.
Nice. I would disagree, but...
You disagree?
Yeah.
Do you even look at the reports that you get? Do you see what the dog finds?
I see I see the people driving through. I don't know if there's, you know, busting anybody who's actually living in the village. I would like to see more of that, possibly. You know,
people off the weekend doesn't really help. I'm sorry, Charlie.
That's right. Go ahead. No.
Taking people off the weekend isn't going to help.
Well, I don't think we need to anyway. I was just bringing that up as a concession to, you know, to keep it in mind. But I don't think we do need the two police officers on the weekend. And Charlie agrees with me. I think Randy agrees with me and Bill agrees. And, you know, so I think...
Well, I'll tell you. You know, I disagree. I think that a lot of the business is done on the weekend. It's the busiest time for all the departments in the area. And it's a dangerous time for police. I mean, when you have a situation where, you know, you pull somebody over and you have somebody who's under the influence of drugs or intoxicated or something like that, things can get out of hand very quickly, and they get out of hand with one guy a lot faster than they do with two. And, you know, so, and not only that, I mean, you could say, I'm going to take $17,000 out of the budget, and I want one guy on the weekend, and Guy can say, I think that's unsafe. You know, what we're going to do, we're not going to patrol on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. Instead, and keep two guys on the weekend. I mean,
well, I would disagree with that.
You don't run the budget.
I got a house in Long Island, and there's one guy. There's so much more activity going on down in Long Island, Manhattan, in the city, in Albany, than in little town of Nassau, and they have one guy on patrol. And the same thing, if we're going to,
they don't have one guy. They might have one guy in a car. And we have one guy.
And we have backup. We can call Skodek. If we're going to work on putting together shared services with other police departments and other municipalities, and we have the police dog, then we can let them know, hey, on weekends, we're only going to have one officer on duty. Be aware, if we have any trouble, we're going to be calling you for backup. It's as simple as that. Now they can utilize our dog when they need it. You know, we call them for backup when we need it. They're 5 minutes away in either direction. And I just think $17,830 is a huge savings for this village. And people want to see that. They want to see some, you know.
Well, I think, you know, this is a pretty big decision. I think it's, you know, it is a budget issue. And, you know, and I think it's the time to discuss it is at the meeting when we adopt the budget. I mean, that's when you can make that, when you have a house full of people and everybody can hear you, what we're doing. I just disagree with, you know, I'm going to disagree with it. And
I really, as the outgoing trustee, I really would like the board to consider at the next meeting or an open meeting that it might be a good idea to do a trial test with a canine unit on weekends with an officer to see if it might work, because you've mentioned that, you know, there's a lot more activity on the weekends. But for me, I would think that if a person is stopped and notices that there's a canine in the car or, he pulls a canine out and he's going to think twice, or as far as you know, whether it be drugs or DWI or whatever, that there's going to be more of a semblance of, you know, when the officer stops. And certainly if there's something really serious, I know that the officer would not go out of his car unless he does have backup, even if the cars are pulled over, and if it takes an extra 10, 15 minutes for backup to come, which is prudent on the officer's part, to see how it would work out. And I'm just voicing my opinion, but there's a new person coming on board. I think he thinks in the terms as Dave, myself, or just have the board consider it at the next open meeting to see what happens. You know, if he can save some money, you know, with this, fine. If it comes to fruition where, you know, you can't go down to one person or one person with a dog, and as you suggested that you know, arrangements can be made, so there's two people all over the place, which brings up another subject. You know, it the statement that you made with shifting two people or based on what just came up, it was brought up in the past couple of meetings to rotate the shifts to catch the people which have been claimed as nuisance that are breaking into vehicles. So they don't want to change the shift, but the police commissioner says, well, we'll just rotate the two people, I think that's what you said, two other days. And I don't know. I just voiced my opinion. That's
when,
all I am.
When do we have two days?
I think he said that he was going to bring them in earlier on the more of the off days, right? Or stretch out the...
We're thinking about stretching out the
stretching
shifts,
out on
not
the
moving
shifts
people
on the
to, not moving people.
What do you
to
mean
Wednesday?
Stretching out?
So that sometimes they start earlier, sometimes they start later.
I don't think it's a question of starting earlier. I think the majority that the complaints are coming in, whether they're valid or not valid, and you know, it's always after dark, and it's always probably after the officers, you know, sign out or whatever they do. You know, you don't want to bring somebody in at 3 o'clock. What you need to do is keep somebody over at 3 o'clock.
So if then, in just a hypothetical, so if this were to happen and you pushed all the shifts out to, say, they start at 8 o'clock and they end at 4 o'clock, okay. 8 p.m., 4 a.m. I'm just hypothetical.
Yeah, okay.
And then you start getting complaints about, well, now we got problems at 6 o'clock. So then do you just move it back and continue to move it around sort of on the one complaint that happens? I mean, you know, one of the things that...
Why is it so regimental, though? That's the thing. You know, if you... Okay, so there's something that comes in earlier. If it comes in earlier and they call 911, they're going to contact Tom Jones? How's that work?
State
I'm not sure.
No,
If we're on, they'll contact
right.
us.
Yeah,
if we're not on, then they'll contact state police.
Okay. All right.
So, but the thing that I suggested at the last meeting is that there's an opportunity for us, if we continue to be able to provide something to share to the county and to other municipalities or other agencies, we might be able to get them to come when we're not here so that we don't have to spend more money to cover the late nights.
Well, why don't we try that method with the weekend first, you know? Try that with the weekend, you
but
know?
When we're not here.
Well, you know...
So to try it, you would do it at a time. You don't change anything, and you say, can you drive through, say, at sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. on a Wednesday? Can you do that a few times? Because, again, the folks who are doing these things...
They come up here and look to see if the cars are parked.
They will get scared away if they see a police car, any police car, over by your house, for example.
I know the state troopers were out yesterday. They had somebody pulled over on Elm Street yesterday. So they're out patrolling this area.
Yeah, I've seen them yesterday also.
So right, I mean,
but what I'm saying is after.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. It's just
so if we could arrange it, say, you know, if you guys could come when we're not here late at night when we have issues. So if you could
just drive, show up
once in a while. It doesn't have to be all the time. I mean, you know, right. if it happened a couple times and the people who are doing these things go, oh, geez, you know, the state police come through here now, we could better move on to some other place that doesn't get that kind of stuff.
You know, we haven't met with the state police, but we did meet with the sheriff. And, you know, and the sheriff told us that he would be willing to work with our department.
Okay.
But he was not willing to take over for them.
All right, so we do have cooperation. So
and we're building on that, but we're still beginning that part.
Well,
that.
I just think I think it'd be a huge savings for the village, and I think it will work. I don't think we're going to have trouble. I think our officers are trained, you know, to take care of trouble. Anybody who gets pulled over, they don't want trouble. They want to get away from the police as fast as possible. So I don't really see, you know, it being a big issue, and I think we should give it a try. You know, I think saving that kind of money, the residents will appreciate it. You know, I think they will.
I think the other thing that when we get into our own echo chambers, it often becomes difficult to realize there's other voices. And so people, Randy remembers, Charlie remembers, and I remember 4 years ago we cut the budget by $40,000, the police budget. And at the time, that was a compromise we came to. And Charlie wanted it a little bit lower than that, and other people wanted it higher. And so we came to that compromise, and we made the changes to the hours that we had to do in order to make that budget. And so while you tell me that the people you're talking to say, well, we want more cuts, I have people tell me that that was a mistake, that they want to see the police here more now.
Well, you're going to get both sides.
I think that election shows it exactly. I mean, it shows how divisive and divided this village is over this issue.
There's no.
And I mean, and now once you're on the board, you have to represent everybody.
No, I understand that.
But I think that the compromise that was made is, you know, if you cut this any more than it is, I mean, you're just rendering the police department as inefficient.
I disagree. I think if you got one guy on the weekend, it's sufficient for a 0.75 square mile village. I think one guy can sufficiently cover it, do everything they need to do to make it safe for the residents and have backup, you know, just by, you know, letting the state police know, SCODAC know that we're only going to have one guy on. Utilize our dog. We have a dog for shared service. Utilize it. Let's put that out there, you know, and start utilizing it more. I think if we're going to keep the dog, let's get it out there, going to schools, you know, meeting, you know, other municipalities and letting them know, hey, we have this.
When is the dog on duty?
The dog is on when Bunny is on, when the handler is on.
Right, but what's his hour?
You know, he works different shifts, but he typically works on, say, a Sunday night, works Friday night.
So you would have to, if you're talking about having a dog on a weekend, you would have to work around his time schedule. Because does he work? Is he retired?
Yeah, he's retired.
So you were to utilize, he would have to
right as a ride along, you know. But what I'm
well,
saying,
well, no,
is,
I'm just saying he right. would have to be available on Friday and Saturday. He may not be, right?
But the two person coverage on the weekends is not. It's not two person all the time. I mean, one guy comes in at one point, and then another guy comes in later, right? And then towards the end of the shift, we end up with one guy straggling off.
Sometimes they do it that way. Yeah. Sometimes they do it at the same
time, usually.
But, you know,
right.
But it's different, you know. Different times.
I'm just
year.
Saying, I think it'd be, a huge eye-opener. I think the village, the residents will appreciate it, and I think it'll work, and I think we should give it a try. You know, if we believe in our police force, they can do it on their own. You know, they can do it by themselves.
I think the proof is going to be when you gentlemen, when the meeting is set for the general public,
mm-hmm.
and I think what you ought to do is present it to the general public and go from there. I mean, it's really, you know, if Bunny comes in on a Sunday with the dog, you know, I don't know what their schedules are, but for some reason, late at night, at different times of the night, on Fridays and Saturday nights, you can basically, you know, and I haven't researched this thing, but you can basically tell
who comes down John Street, nice and slow, they look everything around, they go around the neighborhood, they come back up, and then you got officers that fly down there, go around, and fly right back out. I've seen it. I don't know who they are, but yes, they do patrol, but there's different, there's difference in the patrol and what they do, at least in the that section of the village. But well, I would really like to see the board too.
We can deal with that too. I mean,
yeah, but what I'd really like to see is have the board, you know, just I don't know how you're going to do it, but present it in front of the public at the public meeting. And
well, I, just with that, I see you're going to get both sides, though. You're going to get both sides. Again,
well,
you know, I think as
a
board,
ultimately, it's up to the board, you know, whether you have a majority, minority, a split, whatever, you know, and then go from there.
I just think we should make some changes. I think this village needs to make some changes, you know.
And we did make a number of changes several years ago, and you know.
And I appreciate you guys considering the grant. I think that's great.
And
thank
we're
you,
you know,
much.
We're trying to move ahead on things, but you can't do everything at once, you know. And I mean, we're all part time here. You know, we
right.
got so much time to work on what we, you know, what we want to work with and work on, and what we have to work on. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I end up spending more time on what I have to work on than what I want
to
work
on. Oh, I know. I'm busy too. I spent all day on,
you know,
doing
so,
stuff today, all day.
But I think that, you know, I would like to work on other stuff, and you know, and not on this, on the police thing. I mean, it seems to be that the.
It's
the topic of,
I see $18,000 that we could save just about
18,
here, and I think
it's you know really
it's not
I mean,
insignificant. It's
it is insignificant. You know why? Because $5 per thousand brought in $316,000. $5 per thousand brought in $316,000. Now you're telling me you're going to reduce the budget by $17,000. What's that amount to? You know,
amounts
to about 15
you
cents.
Know, amounts to a start, though.
You amounts, know, it's not significant, and it's, you know, it's really not something that I, as a resident, would be looking for a place to cut. That, I mean, that little bit. I mean, you know, it's just not some place I would look to cut for that. Not for that amount of money. I mean, if you were going to save me, you know, a couple of $100 on my taxes, well, maybe I'd consider something like that. But you're realistically, you're talking like $30, $20.
That goes a long way for.
It doesn't go. It's an annual thing. Come on, really, $20.
Oh, I'm telling
$30.
People want to see savings. They, you know, people in this village want.
I think people will be very happy that we're under a tax cap that's less than a tenth or a 15%. A 15th of a percent. I think people will be happy with that. I think we've done it.
I think if we
job.
Don't do it, it's a mistake. You know, I think we ought to get
well,
started.
Well, like I said,
so
you know, it's a
you know the other thing to consider is that you know the biggest expense in this village outside water, that's obviously the biggest, is the highway department. And I haven't seen any plan, and I've asked. For this for several years, plan on what are we going to do when those trucks go? What are we going to do with that salt shed? What you know, we're not even thinking. We're so mired in arguments of the past, arguments of the you know what can we cut right now to sort of satisfy someone. How about thinking ahead about the village and thinking about how are we going to replace those trucks? I mean, one of them's getting on to be 10 years old now.
And one of them, Charlie, don't you have a...
Well, again, you take that $17,830 and put it into highways if you're concerned about highways.
It's not
you know?
That you have to put it into highways. We need a plan. We need to plan and think about what are the next 10 years look like. That's, you know, these arguments about the past.
How I understand, and you make a good point. And what I'm saying is if we put the plan together and you think that we are suffering here, because I haven't paid attention to any of that stuff, any of our equipment, I really haven't, to be honest with you. But if we're having an issue with that, let's take some of this money, put it into a fund so that, you know, we do have a reserve put aside for that. And we can take it here because it'll work. You know, we can take it from, and then that's the only place that we can get it from is from the police department.
No, it isn't the only
place. There's
a lot
of places
where you can get it either.
Okay, just a point on your street maintenance capital fund. That's DPW. We got $6,500. In the budget, isn't that? Weren't we putting stuff away for a truck? in the capital fund.
Right, but when is that when is it due to get replaced?
Right,
and how much money will we have?
Right, but what do we have in that line?
I don't know what we have in the capital fund itself, but
no, in the 5110.9. We had, you know, what do we have? I don't have the budget sheet.
We have right there, 60,000.
Right, but that's all we have in there right now.
That's what we have in a proposed budget put,
right.
put
so
aside next year.
What is
year?
The total we have in the capital fund?
I don't know.
We don't have
any
money. I thought we were putting, we're on that plan to put money in the capital fund for trucks.
We are, but I think we just bought a truck, didn't we, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
yes.
We
4 years.
Just bought
in 2012.
All right,
so 4 years
ago. So what is in that line right
now? And you
know
that. And
well, if you did for $6,000 a year, you should have $24,000.
Right there.
6,500.4.
50. Those are usually transferred at the end of the year, though.
There's 6,500 left.
So it doesn't usually get transferred till the end of May meeting. And that's when those transfers are made. So that'll sit there until that end of May meeting.
So where is that going? What?
Then it goes into the to the MBNA account and becomes a capital fund, and it's no longer in your budget.
So if you that's a good question that I had is so if we let's say we have that $6,300 for assessment, and then we still have $2,500 in there, and we pass this assessment for $6,300, that $2,500 goes into a different fund, and it's only
$6,500? No, it goes into if anything that's not assigned to a capital fund goes into unexpended balance.
Does it stay in the assessment fund, or is a separate fund called
unexpended
balance?
No, every year you start over again.
Okay.
So like this year, we started out with we assumed that we were going to have $100,000 unexpended balance. That's going to be our. It's like I don't know. It's not like a slush fund or anything, but
state requires us to have something.
But you got to have some extra.
Okay.
So it's a
that's
carryover from last year.
Okay,
is where that comes from. But there are certain line items that you can earmark, like this fund here that we did, to go into a capital fund for a specific purpose. So every year we put money into a fund to purchase a vehicle or whatever it happens to be. Or
things that are big.
Yeah.
You know, so, because, you know, in 1 year, if you had a $50,000 bill for a truck, for example, you'd kill your budget.
So that $6,500 will go into a capital fund.
At the end of the year, it'll be transferred over into the capital. There's other capital funds in
right.
there, too.
But it's...
Is that capital fund still slated for highways, or is it a capital fund for whatever we need it
for?
No.
Equipment.
Capital funds
that
have to be
for
specific things.
Specific, okay.
And you can't take money out of them for any other reason other than
in fact, you have to have
whatever it is.
You have
okay.
to have a
and we have to have
hearing.
A public hearing before we can take the money
so
out and tell
actually
the public what we're using it for.
Yeah.
And it's I don't think it's subject to permissive
that's
referendum. But
so that's actually street maintenance. So that could be that could actually go towards if we had a big paving project that we didn't have.
But couldn't go for a truck.
No, I think it could go for a truck.
But so what my question is, what if that's earmarked to go into that capital fund at the end of the year, how much money is in that account right now?
Yes, this,
I don't know. We'd have to ask. You'd have to ask
I thought,
Wendy that.
Right, because I thought we're like the last three budgets or two budgets we put $6,500 in, right?
Right. There might be $20,000 in there.
Right. So we're on a. I'm just saying we're on a plan to put money because we knew that the dump truck is the next.
Well, yeah. I think what Guy's saying is we need to really get a handle on it and see what our expected life of these vehicles are and if that's enough and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's all stuff that needs to be done. You're not going to do it in the next week.
Right.
It's all the more reason, Randy, that you requested maintenance records for all the vehicles.
Which I haven't had since almost a year now. So
you have gotten them?
As a side note, did I send you guys the email from the insurance company about the dog?
Yeah, I took care of that.
Okay. I don't know why you sent it to me, but I just
because,
forwarded it to you guys.
Well, yeah. Bill called them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, you did. I'm sorry.
Caught the girl by surprise, didn't know what she was talking about, gave her bad information. She gave him bad information, so I talked to Matt, got it all straightened out. So
okay.
There's
it covered now? The dog is covered?
The dog's covered.
Okay.
Dog's always been covered.
Okay.
And then there's no additional charges or anything. So.
The only thing that I kind of want to say is, you know, I understand you and the police department, okay, trying to cut budgets, okay. But, you know, the village has to look at, we got a lot of other problems in this village, okay, not just the police department. We got vacancies. We got a mobile station on the corner of that corner down there that the guy goes in there at night, leaves the lights on, okay. We got a lot of issues in here that need to be addressed. Not only, you know, you're at code enforcement, and we got stewards down here that's vacant now. Okay, we got a lot of, I know they're still paying the taxes, mm-hmm. but, you know, how many people are moving out? Okay, and is this our village, our little village, is becoming a tenant village, not a resident village anymore. Okay, and so, you know, we have to look at the big picture. Okay, where are we going? Okay,
well,
because at this point in time, I see us going down the tubes, where either we start consolidating, or we're just going to force people just to move out and move out and move out. Okay, we have, let me finish.
No, go ahead.
Okay, we have drug houses across from the firehouse. People coming in and out all the time. I hear from a guy, Mr. I'm not going to say his name, lives from the firehouse, wants to know what the police is doing about it. Okay, my answer last meeting was, we have to have a complaint. We're going to go visit the house. Okay, I got people 2 doors down from me, a drug house. Okay, what are we doing about that? Okay, do we have to have somebody file a complaint? Can we, is there a sting operation? I'm just saying, I mean, there's a lot of issues in here, police issues, okay? You know, we're going to catch these people coming down Route 20 with drugs in their car. We need to catch the people in our village.
That's, yeah, right.
Destroying their village. Okay? We're getting to be known as the drug village. Okay? And does it take a complaint? Do I have to file a complaint? I don't live next door.
It actually takes more than a complaint.
Right.
I mean, you can't just barge into people's homes. You have to. There has to be evidence. I mean, you have to have probable cause. You can't just knock on someone's door and say, "Hey, I'm going to come in and search for drugs."
But
and you can't
got,
do that.
Right. When you
no.
got
no matter who you're
going in and out all night long.
Well, to address the other things that you were talking about, Randy, Josh sent me over an example of the master plan. I think it's great. I think what we have with the master plan states where we want to go with this village. I think we really ought to push to get that. Get that completed, and then you know push to follow through with that master plan, because there's some good points there, and it will, you know, if we can follow that guideline and push to, you know, make that come to fruition, then I think we can revitalize this village, you know.
Well, because
a lot of it has to do with the grants in there too,
and I very much appreciate that, because what that master plan offers is a vision of what
right.
the village,
and that's what we need
be.
To go
up,
yeah.
and what we could go towards instead of, you know, we're I, you know, frankly, I'm sick of hearing, I want to get rid of this and get rid of that and all that. You know, that's not how you build something. You don't build something by throwing stuff away. You build something by looking out and saying, this is what we could do. This is what we could do. And that's what that plan is intended
to. I like that. Yeah, that master plan is good.
I mean, it's a very positive way to think about this, because I'm going to be here for a while. I don't want, you know, I'm not running out the door. I'm here for the long haul. And I hope that most of us are here for the long haul. I hope. I mean, I understand people's frustration. You know, I look out the door, I drive through here and walk around and see the same things that you guys see. You know, so
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's just
and there's some other stuff that was just in the advertiser that we're going to have to deal with.
I don't know what the advertiser was.
The state test award. The state tests were announced.
For what?
For the water?
PFOA.
Yeah. We got 6.3.
Okay.
Parts per trillion.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're testing up to the Dewey Local site to see if it's coming from there.
What I'm saying is that
it's not even a recordable or detectable.
Detectable.
It was detectable.
Not recordable.
Not recordable.
Yeah. Well, okay.
But
so, are we just going to stop there?
No, we're going to continue
right,
to test
saying.
For it.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be on our volatile organics list now because it's there. I'll announce this at the meeting, so I'll repeat myself. But I met with the EPA about that, talked to EPA about it. They're testing this month.
Yeah, we're supposed to meet.
Month.
Yes, we're supposed to meet.
I think next week. I think they might have already tested the one side, right?
No, they're supposed to meet.
23rd, they said.
Yeah, but they're supposed to take like 2 to 3 days if it takes that long.
Mm.
Yeah,
but they're testing the influent and the effluent of the filters to see if the PFOA that was detected is coming from the landfill.
Right.
So.
And if it isn't, then you have to look at other.
Right. But let's not get
kitchen.
Over. I mean, you know, it's. It was. I was very surprised that we had any detectable limit at all, but it is 6.3 parts per trillion, and the recordable level is 20 parts per trillion, and the EPA health advisory level is 100 parts per trillion. And so, just to put it into perspective, I'm not happy any of it's there either. It's just like I'm not happy there's 1,4-dioxins either. But there is what there is, and we'll have to deal with it and monitor it. But
so, and it would be very helpful to have someone who, you know, if we could, you know, we have a school of public health exactly 11 miles away from here, with actually world renowned. Environmental science people, David Carpenter, who, if you know, has made statements about the LOFL site. I think we should reach out to folks like that to come to public forums here to say exactly what that 6.3 means.
Mm-hmm.
While we might be, you know, we can say, yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's only at this level, and we don't have to worry about it. It would be helpful if we could have someone.
Well, then there's nothing only either. I mean, you know, it is right. What it is. It don't belong there. It's there.
Right, and. Are there steps that we can take to reduce the amount that people are actually ingesting? I mean, I don't know if there are steps. I don't know, and you know, who knows about that stuff. But should we be doing something about that?
Well, we should be, and you know, this investigation is just beginning. So, you know, but it, you know, I'm just telling you guys now. We'll talk about it more at the meeting. But you know, we are. Aware of it, we're following up with it, we're trying to get more information, and you know, and we know it's going to come up. We know we're going to have to talk about it.
Now, so when they say it's non-reportable, does that mean it's not
Well, they say it's below the minimum amount that's allowed by the federal government.
Okay. So, as far as health hazards, they don't.
Right. So what they say is that if it's below 20 parts per trillion, you don't even have to tell them.
Okay.
If it's above 20 parts per trillion, but less than 100 parts per trillion, you have to notify the federal government that you have it in your water, but you don't have to issue a health advisory or anything.
Okay.
And if it's above 100 parts per trillion, then you have to notify them and you have to issue a health advisory. That's what the rules say. Now, are those rules accurate? I mean, I don't know what's accurate. I mean, I'm not a chemist. I, you know, and I don't think anybody really knows long-term, small quantity, you know, what kind of effect right. that has on people. I mean, you know, but, I mean, all we can do is deal with it.
Where do we stand with this?
I think that this is, I just wanted to bring this and say, you know, this is, you know, it's a balanced budget. It's under the tax cap. And if there's areas that, you know, that you want to reduce and eliminate, that it should be, we'll deal with it at the meeting.
I had one comment about personal service for the,
Well, line up.
This one's nice and easy. It goes in number order here. You know, you can.
let's see.
Now, this is what they gave me to work with.
Right.
I'm not recreating this.
Well, right. Let's see.
14.10.1. Clerk.
Yeah.
14. What is it? 14 what?
14.10.1.
I increased the hours.
How much?
On the deputy clerk.
No, I'm talking about the
regular clerk.
Okay.
Clerk's personal services? Oh, okay.
And then 13.25.1.
Treasurer's personal service?
Yeah.
Treasurer's didn't go up at all.
It didn't?
No.
7,000.
Sure did.
Where do you see
1325.1?
Yeah.
The draft?
5250 to 7,000.
No, 5250 is where we are to date.
Oh.
The budget from last year is 7,000.
Well, where did we go up? Remember, we went.
The clerk. 14,000.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's how much of an increase?
11%.
Okay. And what was the other people?
Everybody else was 3%. But you, I mean, my understanding was that you agreed to that because the work Missy was doing.
We put it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean.
Well, we're not approving. We're not approving the wages or people's pay this week. That doesn't take effect till June anyway. So
I understand it.
What do you think on that? What percentage are you thinking?
I'm just saying. I mean, is that everybody?
Well, I know you have.
We just threw it in there. I'm just.
No, we didn't just throw it in there because Missy asked for it.
Right.
Specifically.
Yeah, we put that number in there.
And we put that number in there.
And your comment was, let's just put the numbers in and work it.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just.
So what are you thinking? What percentage are you looking at?
I don't know.
To make you happy on that.
You made a comment that you thought that was quite large.
I thought it was large, but you know, the more you think about, you know, the work that she's doing, I think, you know, one of the main sort of positions here. I mean, everyone has to deal
full
with
time.
The clerk first.
She's, yeah,
kind of the background.
And you know, and I
right, but you increased the hours.
I increased the hours for the deputy because I tell you. After spending a year as mayor and being in that office and seeing what's in there, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
What are we at now with our 13%? Is that what it comes to here? 11?
No, I'm right with that. I just thought that you said we're just going to put the number in there and then we'll talk about it. That's what I thought you said.
And I did. I was concerned, but the more I thought about it.
Okay. That's why I'm bringing it up. I knew that you were.
And I do agree that that was what we did, but I thought after a couple of meetings and people were talking about how much work it was, I thought everybody was all right with it. That's all. So I didn't bring it up again.
Yeah, I just didn't bring it up again because I just thought you were.
I've gone in to see what,
first of all, I mean, you know, the clerk needs to work more on the coding because it's not always what it should be, you know, so she needs to spend more time on that. Also, you know, the records in there. I mean,
you've been
in the frickin' drawers. I mean, my God.
The maps are a mess. Everything's in there. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's boxes of payroll records that have been, they've been there for frickin' 2 months.
What
the heck?
Yeah, there's,
you know,
there's
I mean,
a,
there's, yeah.
There's a grant for that, too, for office management stuff. Maybe we should have Missy look into that, you know, on her end. Have her look into it and then have Terry maybe be, you know, go after it.
Well, that's why I felt that, you know, having somebody here more would be more of a help to her. Because I know, especially with what was going on with her mother, she was a freaking wreck.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean, I don't blame her. I mean, I want to help her all I can help her, but there's only so much you can do. You know, but I think this will be more of a help to her in the future. But to get us back, you know, back up.
I just brought it up because I knew you said nothing to just put it in there and we're talking.
Yep.
Okay. The only other thing
definitely
is,
in there.
Okay. The only other thing is, Charlie, you were supposed to get prices from Matt, okay, for Swamath, for our refuse and garbage charges and fees.
I thought there was email sent out on that.
There was, and when I talked to Matt, we're going out to bid this year.
Right, January.
So,
yeah, it has to be. We have to have a.
We're going to have to. We're going to have everything for this summer. We'll have a package together for this summer.
My only concern is that we had to take money out of the unexpended balance.
It
was $112,000 last year, right? And we raised it to $200,000, I think. Okay, how we keep taking money that we don't have out of our unexpected. Are we going to?
Well, this is I think the raise last year from 170
didn't cover it. What we
no,
saw.
I thought
no, it doesn't
I
cover the whole cost.
But, no,
but
I thought it broke
the money's
yeah,
in
pretty,
here.
Pretty much
yeah,
broke
that's
even.
Morning, you were going to check if it's.
No, and he responded back.
And we think
it's
going to be all right
yeah,
for this
exactly.
year.
I just want to make sure that we.
Yeah.
That
we're anticipating like a 3% increase,
okay.
And if we go out the bid, we might even be able to save.
And there
some
is money.
There is money, according to the auditors, there is money that is going, that's being held in abeyance because the as the board, we could have elected to return monies to all the municipalities, but I asked the auditor and Matt if we could, if Swama could hang on to it because the price of gas is going up, and the auditors kind of agreed, and then that would offset any increases that might come down the road for all the municipalities. So, I mean, it's not a question that they're making money or anything else. It's just that they're just going to hold the money because gas is going up and it continues to go up. So, and I don't know how bad that's going to be down the road.
Yeah.
So, so there's going to be some savings this year for all the municipalities. And I think there was monies like, not that the village is going to get it, but I think there was like an overage of $40,000 for the five or six municipalities. What that breaks down to for the village and Nassau, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be incorporated as the bills come in.
Mm-hmm.
And if the gas keeps on going up, because that's just going to come back to haunt us and all the other municipalities.
I just wanted to make sure we had enough in there, you know, because we were also discussing having the trash pick up at a different day.
That's going to be, he's going to have an alternate for that.
Because anywhere, if it goes up more than 3%, we don't have enough money budget.
Right, and you're going to, the bid will come to us, the bid specs will come to us before it goes out. But what I did ask him for was I asked him to get us a price for exactly what we have now, and then ask for an alternate to do the same pickup on a day of their choosing, and they can, for the best price, and let us know what day that is, and then we can choose if we want to do that or not. But, you know, we'll look at what the savings is and what the day is, if it, you know.
Okay, and back to Dave with the police department. You know, having two people on Fridays and Saturdays, can we maybe take some hours away on the other days and get SCODAC as far as shared services? You know, to save a little bit of money, can we ask them if they can? What, I don't even know our hours, because, you know,
they're not going to patrol.
I know
they will come if there's an issue, maybe.
But I mean, you said.
But they're not going to patrol.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you know, people are looking for a cut in the police department, if you're definitely against having the two people taken away on Friday.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, I think it's a safety issue. I haven't really, I mean, this, that just come up a couple weeks ago, so I really haven't put a lot of thought into it.
Can we eliminate just a little, another shift on I know you can't say, well, Mondays we don't have any problems. I mean, I'm just saying.
You know, but what is it? I mean, it just looks like it's, you know, I mean, what is it? I mean, it's not saving the village anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, it's peanuts, really.
So can I make a suggestion then? You want to have a budget hearing when?
We are having a budget hearing on April 13th.
Before the meeting. At what
time? 6 o'clock. No,
better
six,
be...
Six. Yeah, six o'clock.
Okay, can I make a suggestion that we don't vote on that budget that night to kind of digest?
Only if you don't want to have a budget, because it has to be in place.
It has to be in place by June.
May 1st.
Well, then we...
And we don't have another meeting.
Well, we have a special meeting to vote on it, because I think we have to... If you're going to have people here, we need to digest what the people in the village concerns. I mean... I'm just saying, if I was sitting up there in a budget hearing from 6 to 7, I had people just, oh, well, you know, this and that, and all of a sudden, Charlie's not going to be bored on the board, but Bill, Dave, you and me have no chance to discuss what we heard out in the public, then I think it's a disjustice to the people. I think it is, but, I mean, we've always had a budget in place before the deadline. I just think we're under the gun right now. I just think that we need to listen to the people that are sitting out here before we vote on it, and kind of digest what they said and hash it around. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are, but if I was sitting in the audience and I had some issues about the budget, I would want the board to take some time to digest or write down a comment and then sit as a board and say, listen, you know, I don't know. I don't know what your feelings are and what your feelings are.
We can discuss all night during that meeting. I mean, we don't vote for it right after the hearing.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you want to talk.
Yeah. And then we go into executive session for that, or is that something we just wait?
Well, what I'm saying, I'm just saying, somebody said they didn't. If we had 100 people in the audience and 75 people said, I'm kind of concerned about this line item. Are we going to sit up here and talk about it?
That's going to be we'll hear them out,
right?
We're going to
have
to hear them out.
Are you guys going to have a time limit on the?
Well, the budget here. I mean, the budget hearing is scheduled for an hour.
Okay, so.
So I'm just saying. I'm okay. Just for instance, if we took a line item that we had budget $9,000 for. Okay. And then all of a sudden, you know, we discussed it, and let's drop the 9,000 down to 7,000 or whatever. Then you're going to have to come up with a whole new budget at that time.
Hmm?
Okay, so are we prepared to do that?
Well, we got to do it. Yeah. So if we can't, then we'll have to have another meeting.
Well, I'm just saying, you made a comment to Dave that you know, Dave says, "Well, I have people here that want the police department don't want hours cut." You said, "You have people that." That say they want it. And then you made the comment, well, you're an elected official. You have to represent
everybody.
Right. Okay, so if you get 100 people in the audience, 75 people would like to see a reduction in the police department, and 25 people don't. So who do you go? What do you go by?
You do what you were elected to do. Okay. What you think is the best for the in
right.
the best
do you
interest
listen
of
to
the
people
village?
That put you in office, or do you listen to what you want?
Isn't it the same?
I don't think it's Randy.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. I hear what you're saying, but. You know, it's not up to the mayor. It's up to the village board.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a majority. It's a majority rule. So, you know, guy might have a different opinion, and the way his thinking is compared to the mayor, is compared to you and the future Bill Ayer and Dave. So regardless if it's 75, 25, or 100, or 99, or 1, or whatever it's going to be, the village board definitely has to hear the pros and cons of the village people, and then maybe on another village budget meeting,
maybe
make
I'll
a decision.
Hear something that'll sway my
no,
thoughts.
But
you
make
know
a decision. But you know, to direct a lot of the stuff towards the mayor. And I'm not sticking up for the mayor.
I wasn't directing ahead. I didn't say that.
It's a majority thing here.
I didn't direct anything to you.
Don't worry about it.
But what I'm saying is that
thick skin.
The board, we ran into a situation when you were mayor that if the budget didn't pass, mm-hmm. you revert back to your last year's budget.
Right.
So regardless what happens, if it gets voted down, we just go to last year's budget and keep it status thing, which means we're over the tax cap. No, we're still over the tax cap.
That means nobody gets raised.
We get zero growth. Be no raises for anybody.
Right. Right. No, I wasn't saying.
Yes. No, I'm just saying those are what would happen. We wouldn't have money for grants. We wouldn't have.
Yeah. No.
But you know, at the end of the day, you know. Here's my opinion for what I consider a public hearing. I mean, if the public brings something to the table of value, then you have to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and take it into consideration. I mean, if they have a value, not everybody has an opinion, okay? But opinions aren't what shouldn't drive this, opinions. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody brings something to the table of value, then you take it into consideration. But if you get up here and you're talking about dropping $2,000 out of a particular line item, mm-hmm. I mean, realize that $2,000 is like, you know, $1.50 for the year in your taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, are we arguing about that? Right. Or are we just making a statement? Okay? Because, I mean, that $1.50 might buy something that's important to other residents. You know? So you have to listen you have to kind of cut through the noise.
Right.
You know?
I understand. I'm just saying. But I think with the new member coming to the board, that I don't know if there's bad blood with the town. I don't know, but I think we should start pursuing.
I am pursuing it.
No, I'm not saying you are.
Well, I'm just saying, because that is a function of my position. So I have met with the town of Skodak. I have traded several emails with Dave Fleming and have not been able to set up a time to meet with him yet. But I intend to meet with him. And I'm going to pursue shared services. And, you know, and I've talked to Dennis Dowd. And, you know, you're giving away all my stuff I was going to say at the meeting. Don't say anything yet, because I want it to be a surprise.
No,
but, you know, I mean, and I'm going to be meeting with his highway people, and he wants me to meet with, you know, the water people, the highway people. And,
yeah. I mean, and if we took the $17,000 out for that, it would be cents.
No, it would be dollars. It would probably come up to, like you said, $20-$25 per person or something like that.
Right, but
which in this village, $25 in this, for these residents, they notice. Believe me, I don't notice, you know, because I don't really look at that stuff. But people tell me all the time, oh, my water went up, this one, the garbage went up. I mean, I hear it every time something
goes up. The
water
went up. I mean, and that's an issue.
Or water, garbage, too. They're going to, you know, it's everything.
But the water is, I mean, That's why I'm talking to Dennis, because the only way that we can get more money into the water fund without going into our pocket and take it out is to expand the water system, get more customers.
Okay, well, that works for me.
You know, and that's what I'm working on with him, and I'm telling him. I said, I made Stuart put that 8-inch line in. When are you going to run the rest of it?
Yeah, use it, right?
And he's telling me, you know, that, you know, Agway's interested, Napa's interested, okay. The pharmacy's interested. I said, so when are you going to run the line? You know, we got to get that out there. I says, I don't want to sign a contract locking the village into a rate for one customer. I says, that customer right there is paying me $1,500 this year.
Right.
Give me some customers.
We can get more customers in.
But, you know, I mean, I'm working on that. But and eventually that'll pay off. But it's, you know, it's going to take a couple of years to get it going.
Right.
But these things take time. They don't happen overnight. And, you know, and I mean, and these are the kinds of things I want to work on, you know, expand the base in the water so we can pay less for that. If, you know, get some shared services with the towns so that when we need a piece of equipment, we can call them up and have them bring it up rather than go down and rent it or buy one.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things, you know, but.
No, it all takes time. I know. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, you know, I don't want to be fighting all the time. I want to work together here and get something done. But that's what it is. But anyway, you know, I think we did a good job with the budget. We, you know, fortunately there was some items in there that we could keep this within the tax cap, and I think that's a great thing. I mean, you know, it should be, if it goes up at all, it should be just a penny or two, you know. But I think with the extra, you know, with the extra assessments that we picked up, it's probably not going to go up at all. You know, but we'll see. That's what I was waiting for.
What line items did you raise, by the way, that Wendy said?
I raised the fines and forfeitures.
Okay.
You know, because last year we took in, you know, the work that the police department did, and you can say what you want for whether what it's for and all that stuff, but the work the police department did brought in $79,000 last year. And I will tell you, the town of Nassau, okay, who has no police department, okay, takes in about between $10,000 and $12,000 a year in fines and forfeitures. And they're, you know, I mean, they're like thousand size of us, you know, with just state police and sheriff. So they have very little patrol, and so that's, you know, but you know that. When you start reducing the police budget, that would go down also. So you wouldn't realize all the savings that you're
anticipating. And then we raised something from the property tax too, right?
Let's see.
What did we raise?
That was most of it. There was another one. State. There was a state.
Yeah, state. I saw it. The state.
An aid thing.
Non-property tax distribution.
Yeah. Because we had been taking in significantly more than was budgeted for that, too.
Yeah.
So,
We moved it up to.
And when I went to the municipal accounting course, they were pretty adamant that you shouldn't be padding your budget, you know, underestimating your income and overestimating your expenditures. You know, you should be relatively close. You know, if you want to carry money from year to year, put it in contingencies, which is good. But anyway, those were significantly out of, you know, so now they're a lot closer, so should be better. All right.
Got it.
All right. Well, I will see. We'll see everybody on next Monday. And that one's at 7 o'clock. It's just going to be appointments and whatnot.